Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank thee for the word of truth. We thank thee for giving it to us, for revealing it to us, for applying it to us, that through it we found our Savior Christ Jesus. Please bless the truth of thy word to our hearts now for his sake. Amen. On October 31st, 1517, one of the greatest events in the history of the world took place. Exactly 500 years ago, this coming Tuesday. The Augustinian monk Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. These theses were primarily challenges to Rome's teaching on indulgences, a teaching that you could buy the forgiveness of sins from the church. You could pay the church to release, or to at least to shorten the time of loved ones in purgatory. It occurred to this pious monk Luther, what kind of man is the Pope if he has the power to keep, to release people from purgatory, and he won't do it without money? So Luther did not intend to start a reformation. He intended to start a discussion among scholars, a debate on these questions. But instead, it ignited a firestorm of the gospel. It spread over Europe and transformed the countries of Europe. Luther wrote these theses in Latin, the language of scholars like himself, but they were quickly translated into common languages, German and others. And thanks to the invention of the printing press, they spread like wildfire. And through the great empires of Europe and Great Britain, this Reformation spread and over the world and literally transformed the world. October 31st, 1517, the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. So this Tuesday, we're celebrating something. I think everybody was excited that the year 2000, Y2K, world didn't end after all. This is a greater event, 500th, half a millennium of the Reformation. Tuesday, something else will be celebrated. The thoroughly pagan holiday or festival of Halloween. Witches, demons, ghosts, goblins, skeletons hanging from trees, graveyards, all the works of the devil, the world of the occult of darkness. It's interesting that whenever God raises up something wonderful, the devil raises up something in its place. Reformation. The gospel liberates us from hell. The world of the occult, let's celebrate that. Decorate your house in the devil's honor. I once said that would be like Jews putting up little swastika flags on Hitler's birthday. Oh, it's just in fun. We don't really mean it. That's what people say about Halloween. It's just in fun. Christ born into the world on Christmas, and the vast majority of children are looking for and thinking about an elf from the North Pole, not Christ. Christ rose from the dead, giving us victory over the grave, and people are looking for pagan fertility symbols, eggs and bunnies. So I'm not ashamed to say I despise Santa Claus. I despise the Easter Bunny. I despise Halloween. I'm always glad when this time of year is over and people clean their devils off the lawn. But I do love Christmas, I do love Easter, and I do love the Reformation. changed my life. Well, in celebration of the Reformation, I've chosen as my theme, why the church needed the Reformation. Was this great disruption of the church necessary? Can't we all just get along? Were the differences that important? People are asking that question back then, and some people are asking it today. I think the clearest way of showing why the church needed Reformation was what's called the five solas of the Protestant Reformation. Sola is Latin for alone or only. The five solas are sola scriptura, scripture alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, solo Christo, Christ alone, and soli Deo gloria, glory to God alone. Now, the Roman Church had scriptures. They believed in faith in Christ. They believed in Christ. They believed in giving glory to God. They believed in grace. But they didn't believe in these things only. It was all the additions that had encrusted the faith over the years and smothered it in the teachings of men that required a reformation. Scriptura sola, scripture alone. If the Christian faith is not built on scripture alone, it's built on a foundation of sand. Rome didn't have the Bible. They had the Bible. They had the Bible. They didn't have it alone. They had added many things to the Bible that are equal weight and sometimes overshadowing scripture itself and contradicting it. One thing they added to the scripture is more scriptures. The Council of Trent, about 25 years after Luther began the Reformation, the Roman Council of Trent added the Apocrypha to their Bible. Now, Luther challenged the Roman Church. Show me where you can find these things you're teaching in the Bible. Show me where the Bible talks about prayers for the dead. This is what indulgences and getting out of purgatory is all about. Well, Rome couldn't find that in the Bible, but they could find it in the Apocrypha. For 15 centuries, Rome had said the Apocrypha is not the Word of God. Suddenly, they decided it is the Word of God because they could prove their heresy with it. I've had Roman Catholic friends tell me, well, you Protestants don't have as much of a Bible as we do. We have a bigger one. You took part of it away. I said, no, you added to it, and you did it after the Reformation began. Roman councils are said to have the same authority as what the apostles taught. The word of the Pope speaking ex cathedra is said to be the word of God, even if it contradicts scripture, as the last few popes have done. Then they have tradition. Recently I spoke about what Jewish tradition is when Jesus spoke about the tradition of the elders, that these teachings supposedly were given to Moses on Mount Sinai, but he didn't write them down. He told them to Joshua, and they were passed down for 15 centuries. And that's where these authoritative traditions that Jesus had made void the Word of God. They put more faith in their traditions than in the Word of God. Now, Rome did exactly the same thing. You say, where do you get this? Oh, it's from oral tradition. The apostles didn't write everything down. Some of it they just passed on by oral tradition, and it became encoded centuries later. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. The two great sins of the Bible are adding to it or taking away from it, and Rome did both. So the Reformation required going back to sola scriptura. If you can't prove it by the Bible, you can't prove it at all. Scripture alone is the Word of God. The next is sola fide, faith alone. You're justified, pronounced just by faith in Christ alone, apart from the law, apart from your own works, apart from your merit. Only faith brings you to Christ. St. Paul says in Romans 3, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Faith alone. Sola fide. Now the Roman church had the Bible, but not the Bible alone, and they had faith, but it wasn't faith alone. Justification according to Rome, of course, is by faith in Christ. They'll say, yes, we believe in justification by faith in Christ. Alone? No, no. Also by hope, by love, by good works, by confession, by all sorts of your merits. And in the Council of Trent in 1544, in reaction to the Reformation, the Roman Church officially took the stance which stands today as their official doctrine, that they cursed everyone who believes or teaches that you're justified by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. Anathema. So I guess we're all cursed, and the Bible's cursed too. St. Paul said in Galatians, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Faith alone. Faith is the empty hand that receives the gift of salvation. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The Reformation was necessary to restore the apostolic teaching that you're justified by faith alone, not by anything you can do. The next sola is sola gratia, grace alone. Grace means gift. You don't pay for a gift. You receive a gift. Salvation is not something you can earn, not something you can merit, not something you could bribe God for. You know, if you'll just do this for me, I'll do that for you. It's a gift he gives to faith alone. And the gift comes with no strings attached. No, it's a gift. You either receive it by faith or you don't receive it at all. If you add a single work or your own merit to your salvation, you're not under grace. Well, Rome taught salvation by grace, but wasn't grace alone. That was the problem. They teach you're saved by grace plus your own merits, plus the merits of the saints, plus the sacraments. Grace plus, 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 plus. Which ends up meaning, for all practical purposes, there's no real grace at all. It's not a gift. It's something you're earning. Something you're accomplishing. I have many Roman Catholic friends, and when I talk to them about Christ, invariably they tell me their hope is that they have been good enough. They all say that. My hope that I've been good enough. You know, you get to the pearly gates and St. Peter decides if you have been good enough to let you in. That is just totally the opposite of what the apostles taught. That's not grace at all, that's works. That's exactly what Paul said can never save you. If you could go to heaven by being good enough, why would Christ die on the cross for your sins? Those who are trying to be saved by their own works probably don't know it, but they really have made themselves their own savior. I've told my Catholic friends that. What, you mean you is you being good enough so you don't have a savior? You're your own savior? So I have a savior. I have somebody who forgave my sins. That's what you need. Salvation is grace plus nothing, or it's not grace at all. St. Paul says in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." By grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, by grace through faith. The Reformation was necessary to restore the apostolic gospel. You're saved by grace alone. The fourth sola is solo Christo. Actually, in Latin, it's solus Christus, but it's anglicized for the five solas. Solo Christo, Christ alone. Now, obviously, the Roman Church had Christ, but not Christ alone in salvation. There's a whole cultus of saints. The church itself. You can't find in the scripture anywhere that would justify praying to saints, praying to anybody who's passed from this life. Yes, they believed Christ as a savior, but not Christ alone. And that's the error that Luther faced. For many Roman Catholics, much more of their faith is in Mary than in Christ. There are many Roman Catholic theologians today who teach that Mary is the co-redemptrix with Christ. Christ is a redeemer, yes, but so is Mary. And together they are the redeemer, co-redemptor, like a co-pilot. You know what a redeemer is, don't you? A redeemer is somebody who pays to buy something back. You know the poor man's bank, the pawn shop? You give your guitar to the pawn shop and they give you $100. And you come back when you got some money, you buy your guitar back for $125. But it's because you're redeeming it. You're paying for it. Well, Christ is a redeemer because he paid for our sins. You owe God a perfect life. He led a perfect life in your place. You owe God death under the wrath of God. He died the wrath of God under the wrath of God in your place. He paid your debt. He's the redeemer. He's the only redeemer. Solo Christo. St. Peter said of Christ, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." None other name. Not St. Jude, not St. Mary, not Buddha, not Muhammad. Christ is the only name under heaven. That means everywhere, right? Whereby men can be saved. Christ alone. The fifth sola is soli Deo gloria. Glory to God alone. Roman Church believe in glorifying God, not God only. If you go to St. Peter's Cathedral at the Vatican, and I've witnessed this myself, there's a giant statue of St. Peter at the entrance, and the big toe is worn shiny from all the pilgrims who touch it to get a blessing. Big toe of a statue of Peter. When I lived in Spain, there was a statue of Mary that was encrusted in jewels, diamonds. It was worth a fortune. And it was poor peasants who could barely get food on the table who paid for all this. Incidentally, it was broken into by thieves, and the jewels were taken. I guess Mary was not able to stop the thieves. Or closer to home, I'm sure you've all seen Lady of Lourdes Hospital. Every time I look out the window with a speed line and I see that hospital with a giant statue of Mary on top, I think I'm looking at something from Babylon. Now, if there were a statue of Christ there, I wouldn't really approve of a statue of Christ, but at least I would think that was a misguided attempt to honor God, to glorify God. This glorifies Mary, not the Christ of the Christian religion. The Lord said of himself, I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Glory to God alone. Well, if you're saved by faith alone and Christ alone, by grace alone, obviously glory to God should be to him alone. One of the greatest composers in the history of the world was Johann Sebastian Bach. At the end, at the bottom of every one of his compositions, he would write three letters, S-D-G, Soli Deo Gloria, all glory to God. So these are the five solas of the Protestant Reformation. Reformation that began 500 years ago this Tuesday. And you can see the really, really good news. Sola Scriptura, you're not bound by the traditions and commandments of men, but by God's word alone. Sola fide. Faith is all you need to come to Christ to be saved. Sola gratia. Salvation is a gift that you don't earn, you receive. Solo Christo, Christ alone. Not saints, not angels, not popes. Christ alone. Soli Deo Gloria, all glory to God, both now and forever. Amen. Oh God, we do thank thee for the Reformation. We think of those poor souls worshiping bones, going on pilgrimages that were attempts to earn heaven. And we came back to the glorious truth of the Word and who the Savior is and what he did and how we receive him and how we are forgiven and how the gates of heaven do open for us who believe in Christ. Amen.